Welcome to the New Zealand Tech Podcast, presented by Paul Stein and Anne Guess.
Welcome along to the New Zealand Tech Podcast. This is episode 178. I'm Paul Spain.
And I'm Mark Derrickett.
Welcome along, Mark. Good to have you on the podcast again.
Good to be back again, yeah. It's been a while.
It has been. Now, for those who don't recall where you fit into the technology world, you're a podcaster amongst other things, but what else can you tell us about yourself?
Software developer for SMX New Zealand. We do hosted email and anti-spam. Also do the Illegal Argument JVM Java development podcast and the odd open source things here and there.
Excellent. Well, great to have you back. Now, let's dive in. We've got a few sort of quick news bites to start with. Mako Networks, it's been announced, have done a deal with Telstra in Australia. Now, they're an Auckland-based... how would you describe them?
Network intrusion, I believe, isn't it? They have their network boxes that go on-premise that do the monitoring of data traffic coming into the network and doing live scanning on people trying to attack you, I believe.
Yeah, so they do a Linux-based ADSL firewall, also can be used with ultra-fast broadband and so on. Last year, of course, they announced a deal in the US that I think with Sprint that was a really big deal for them. And now they've just signed this deal with Telstra. In New Zealand, they've got Telecom's been one of their customers for quite some time. They've got some quite unique features with their product. And I think they were the first, or certainly, yeah, I think they were the first firewall provider to get certified for the payment card industry data security standard, or PCI DSS. So that's certainly been a big thing for them. So very helpful for those who have got FPOS terminals and so on that are connected to an internet connection.
Yep.
Some good stuff that they're doing. So great to see them continuing their global expansion.
Yeah, they're definitely one of New Zealand's probably well-known export companies in the IT tech sector.
Yep. Now, another story, now not quite so close to home, but Microsoft, there's been a bit of news leaking over the last few days around them releasing a smaller version of their Surface tablet. Now, there have been a few bits and pieces going on for a while, and of course we had Nathan Mercer on the podcast recently, who was alluding to the fact that there might be some other things coming in that Surface product range. And there are now a few rumors floating around about what that may consist of. But the most current of those is that there will be a Surface Mini, something in the 7 to 8 inch form factor, or maybe both form factors, launching around sort of mid to late May. So that fills in sort of another gap that Microsoft haven't covered with their own hardware, and certainly some things floating around other form factors and so on coming through as well. So,
do you think we'll see like a Surface phone at any point? Like, take it down to even a bit smaller size and just actually unify that whole ecosystem of applications and the OS and...
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question, actually, because it's just been over the weekend that Microsoft have closed their deal with Nokia. So there is, I guess some questions around what is going to happen with the Microsoft branding. And what we've heard from Stephen Elop, who was the CEO at Nokia and now is heading Microsoft's devices group. So in that new role, he not only looks after what was the Nokia handsets, but a whole range of other products, such as the Microsoft Surface products, I believe, as well. So Yeah, we don't quite know what all of that's going to look like in terms of naming, and I guess there have been comments, will they take that Surface name and bring it down to smartphones and so on? That picture isn't entirely clear just yet.
Yeah, with the sale of Nokia, do you know if they're continuing their Android device that they recently launched?
Yes, they are, absolutely. Yep, that's been confirmed that the Nokia X will definitely be launched, and that's very, very soon, I think, and certainly in some markets, so not far off at all.
Because that's one device that I'm very keen to look at, because I've really liked the look of the Lumia handsets, but I'm more of an Android guy than I am a Windows guy. Even though it's got the Windows 8 launcher look and feel and everything, I think that actually might be quite a compelling device.
And certainly in that sort of price point where it'll be quite broadly accessible. And yeah, I think we're starting to see more and more of those phones that are reasonably priced that are actually, you know, quite good and quite capable for, you know, for most people. If you're not wanting the absolute top end camera and, you know, some of those real top end, features, like for instance the infrared remote that you get on some of the higher end Androids. If there are a few things you can cope without, then there's some really good value handsets. And yeah, certainly Nokia's, got a number of players in that space.
Yeah. And I guess a new player in the area, which has been coming for a while, I see that Amazon have announced their new phone that they're working on. And I believe they're going to be doing, something, they're calling it Prime Data. So it's taking Amazon Prime branding, and it's some kind of free data plan that's giving you local free content to watch all the Amazon content, similar to how the WhisperNet on the Kindles is free, in air quotes.
Yeah, there's certainly been some rumors floating around on that. I don't think Amazon have really confirmed anything at this stage, though, have they? It's all certainly still sort of rumor mill type type stuff. I mean, much as I guess the things that we've heard about a Surface next month are as well to some degree. So, yeah, I think that'll be fascinating to see. I would say initially there will probably be a pretty big focus around the US market, before we see something like that land in New Zealand.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean the bundled 3G services that they have with the Kindle are available pretty broadly on an international basis. So, hey, anything's possible, right?
Yeah. I mean, just thinking about things that won't necessarily come down here. You've got Hulu and Netflix, which I understand this week, Hulu started blocking VPN users.
Yeah. There's always that risk that those of us that are accessing these services through VPNs and proxies will at some stage have our service blocked. And yeah, I mean, they are specifically targeting the US market primarily. I'm always unsure when I hear those rumors on exactly what the causes are and whether it is actually a deliberate blocking, because the biggest player in the market, other than Netflix, certainly the biggest one globally, would be Apple with their iTunes. And you can buy without any sort of major hoops to jump through, other than setting up a US account with you don't even necessarily need a US credit card, a US iTunes account. As soon as you've done that, you can buy movie content and so on from anywhere in the world, regardless of whether it's released in that country. So when a player is as big as Apple is so relaxed about it, and even more so than the likes of Hulu and Netflix and Amazon, I can't see that there's too much pressure on the others to close any loopholes. But hey, anything is possible. So
it's apparently it's been causing quite a bit of a hoopla in the US as well, because a lot of ISPs that are doing transparent web proxies are being pulled into this VPN block that they've put up. So legitimate users can also no longer see the content that they're paying for.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's certainly a concern.
So and whether that's actually going to be a decision that's going to be reversed soon, or I think it will be interesting to watch how this plays out.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, that is interesting. And, in fact, the story that, that you shared with me earlier, on infirst.com, that actually did show a screenshot, didn't it? That, specifically was referring
to piracy and
being blocked for, using, going through a proxy. So, yeah, hey, maybe these things are, more real than what I would like to think. So I guess we have to sit and wait on that. But, yeah, I'm hoping that that sort of, blocking goes away. And I would have thought for the likes of, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon and so on, for them, there's not a whole lot of advantage in doing the blocking because all it does is takes dollars out of their pockets and out of the pockets of the, you know, the rights holders that are, also getting paid. But hey,
I guess it's possibly coming. I guess it's probably coming down from the rights holders themselves saying, "You need to block this because we want to sell it to Vodafone or to Sky New Zealand, and well, they're not going to pay for it if they can get it here." So whether there's some kind of other pushback from their providers.
Yeah, and that's certainly possible in some cases, I'm sure. Now, other news, Telecom have kicked off with offering, flat rate internet again.
Are you a giganeer?
Which they have done in the past.
Are you a giganeer?
A giganeer? What does that term mean?
I saw this advert playing, what was it, the gym the other night, and it looked terrible, and there was no audio, and then I was watching something on YouTube, and I saw the ad come up again, and it's one of these Telecom new ads about their flat rates, about having as many gigs as you can have, and it's a rap song about being a giganeer.
Oh, and fascinating.
It is cheesy. It is, I'm not sure I like it.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. I mean, that I guess they're trying to put something out there that's memorable. Sometimes these jingles aren't particularly nice, but in this case, you've remembered it anyway. Maybe not for the right reasons, but hey. So in terms of these new plans, if you look at Telecom's ADSL and their other plans, right at the and we're talking about residential plans here, by the way. I'm not sure of anything that's available in the business market yet. But at the top end where they had, bigger, plans in the past, I think, 500 gig plans and the like, that's where we've seen a change. So in terms of their ADSL plans that you can get from Telecom, they start with a 40 gig plan for $75 a month. And then at the top end is now this unlimited ADSL plan for $109 a month. So it's certainly not the cheapest of the unlimited plans, in the market. Then on VDSL, it's another $10. It's $119 for their, unlimited, VDSL plan. So those are in a VDSL, zone, we'll be able to jump onto that one. And then they've got UFB plans, and I think it's $109 for their 30 megabits or 30/10 ultra fast broadband unlimited fiber plan. And if you go onto their top one, their 100 megabits, I'm seeing that on their website listed at $139 a month. So, yeah.
Is that including the phone plan, or is that naked? Or
I think that includes home phone as well in that pricing.
That's not too bad pricing then.
Yeah. So I think it's good to see more of these, and you know, the competition and so on that we've had from some of the other players in the market sort of stirring up around unlimited, I'm sure, has increased demand. And then, of course, you've got Big Pipe, which is Telecom, a little offshoot of Telecom, and they've been offering some unlimited plans, so I'm not sure, you know, where that tie-in is, whether that's come from the tests that they've done with Big Pipe, or whether just independently they've decided that they need to make this available broadly for all customers. But I think having more flat rate plans is a good thing. Of course, there are always a few gotchas with these flat rate plans, and there'll be some types of traffic that they potentially will slow down to ensure a generally consistent result for customers. So I would say,
Use VPNs.
It'll be a little while before, we know exactly,
yep.
What services maybe get impacted with this, and worth watching some of the online, discussions and so on. Definitely, keep a watch on the threads on GeekZone if you're really interested in working out who's got the best unlimited plans. Now, a camera that Samsung launched last year was the Galaxy S4 Zoom, which was a variation on the Galaxy S4, but with a big chunky camera with a zoom lens attached to it. And the concept was quite cool. It was, I think, their sort of second go round on this type of product. They've had another go, or they're just in the process of launching it, this time around it's called the Galaxy K Zoom, and it shares some similarities with the Galaxy S5, although, it's not exactly an S5, with a zoom lens attached, but, it looks pretty cool from the bits and pieces I've had a look at online, and,
I believe it's a 20 megapixel camera.
Yeah, 20 megapixel camera. You're talking about a 3G and 4G handset, 4.8 inch screen, but a lower resolution, a 720p screen, so lower resolution than in the Galaxy S4 and S5. A fairly basic 8 gigs of internal storage, but of course you can put a memory card inside in there as well. So, I think these types of phones are good. They'll definitely sort of serve a little bit of a niche audience, but it's great having those other options. Particularly, there haven't been so many options on the Android platform in terms of the really high resolution phones. Of course, Windows phones got the 38 megapixel, 40 megapixel camera available, or smartphone available from Nokia, and also a 20 megapixel. But that's quite a different approach because this one actually has a physical zoom that can stick right out of the phone.
Yeah, the Microsoft one doesn't actually save a 20 megapixel or a 40 megapixel image, though, does it? It uses that sensor to save a smaller image, but to provide more zoom and more quality, I believe.
I think what you find is no, you can't. You get a 38 megapixel, a 38 megapixel image out of the Lumia 1020.
Oh,
so,
nice.
So it can do that. It saves a lower resolution one as well. You get both resolutions, and that's a pretty awesome camera from a zoom perspective, and so on, because you've got such a resolution to play with. So yeah, very, very cool.
Cool. Well, I assume they're actually kind of targeting these as use the camera to take your photos and your videos, and then you'll just stream that to your new TV that you're also going to buy from Samsung and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, it's all part of the story, isn't it? All these things sort of starting to tie together, and you've got the 4K video that the Galaxy S5 and other smartphones are starting to do as well, so that all ties in nicely with obviously with the 4K TVs that are starting to come out. Now, talking of TVs, just in the last couple of weeks, LG have announced their new TVs into the New Zealand market for 2014, and some interesting bits and pieces in there. The bit projects that stood out. I mean, we knew they were going ahead and launching something, you know, in terms of a new curved product into the New Zealand market, and they've certainly gone ahead and done that. But they've also done something that Samsung showed us ahead of launch, probably a couple of months ago. Samsung took me through and showed me some of the new products they're going to be launching into the market, and one of the things was TVs that have got the dual tuners, so an ability to work both with a satellite based tuner, which is relevant if you're outside of a lot of the bigger suburban areas, pretty much anywhere you can use that to get your Freeview signal, as well as working with the traditional aerial. So that's something that Samsung are bundling in with these. And they've also got, you know, the Mac Daddy, which is a 77-inch curve OLED TV, which is what they launched at the Sky Tower a couple of weeks ago. And, yeah, absolutely gorgeous TV. Very, very cool. I don't think they've confirmed the dollars on it at the moment, but it's gonna be big bucks.
Yeah, it's my birthday coming up soon, Paul, so I'll just put that down on my wish list.
All right. Well, yeah. I'm not sure what I could organise on that one actually. I'm in the queue too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, I mean, a bunch of other things there as well is they've now started with incorporating the WebOS operating system, which they bought off HP, so they're incorporating that through into their smart TVs. It looks pretty good. Looks to do some nice stuff, and yeah, it gives a bit of a better experience than some of the other software pieces that we've seen on top of smart TV. Seems to be reasonably smooth. The other thing that they're doing, and again, you know, Samsung are playing a similar game, is they're allowing you to record, you know, off Freeview to an external drive attached to the TV. There is actually a little bit of built-in storage, but not enough to, you know, to achieve a whole lot. So, you know, you really need to plug in probably a USB hard drive, and that turns your TV into a digital video recorder, which is quite nice for catching that broadcast stuff without having to have a separate set-top box.
Do you know if that's in any kind of open format that you could then take that hard drive and use in a computer to then, say, pull that into, say, Final Cut Pro and do some editing?
There's usually sort of restrictions around that,
yep,
from a copyright perspective and so on, but, yeah, not something that I've actually had a look at or asked about, this time around, but it is a good question because there are, yeah, there's often bits and pieces on TV that you would like to capture and do something with, so it's definitely worth finding out. So, I'll try and investigate that one.
Cool. That's interesting. So, have you used any of the new taxi stuff that's been coming out lately, like Uber and Zoomy?
Good question. Yeah, that was one of the things I was keen to chat about. Yeah, so we've got Uber, and I think I chatted about that a few weeks ago, and then I thought we'd better investigate Zoomy. Now, for those that don't know, Uber is a San Francisco-based company that started offering services maybe 4 years ago. I'm not sure if you're sure on that, Mark, but I think in that sort of range. They've been around for a few years now.
Yeah, they've been around for a while, but they've only really been public, at least down here, for like the last year or so that I've heard them being talked about.
Yeah, so it's really been in the last year they've picked up a huge amount of attention. And what they are, I guess, is they're sort of the next generation in taxi company, and they've sort of taken a fresh approach to hiring a driver and a vehicle to come and pick you up for a ride, and yeah, it's quite different from the usual, you know, flag down a cab, you know, book a cab over the phone, that sort of thing. You know, first of all, it's all based around an app that knows where you are, knows where all vehicles are on the road, and you book through the app, you know who's going to come and pick you up, where and when, etc. You've got a handle on what the journey's likely to cost you. It's cashless, so you don't need to pay the driver as you leave the vehicle. That comes off your credit card or off your account automatically. They've got some sort of capability. I think, I'm not sure if this is relevant to New Zealand yet, but some sort of capability for splitting fares. And then you've got that, you know, whole thing that you get with, Trade Me and so many other services where you can rate those people that are involved. So you can rate the driver and say this driver is good or bad. You know, if you're not happy with the, you know, the journey that he takes you on, you don't have to sit there swearing about it. You can actually pass some feedback back to them if you know, if you think that he took you on a wild goose chase. And in fact, you get an email afterwards which shows you the exact route that you've been on. You've used this yep. Uber service at least a couple of times, haven't you, Mark?
I have, and I was just going to point out that they also get to rate you as a customer.
That's true. Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
So it's a bit of a, they get to know, and the other drivers know that, okay, this guy, he's a little bit whiny, he's a really irritating customer, so just don't pick him up. Or be careful.
So it teaches the passengers to be nice too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've used it twice so far, and I'm not really a taxi person because I usually drive to work and I don't really go to client sites, but I had need to use it twice recently when I was going to the Codemania developer conference in town. And one of them, I booked the taxi and I could see where he was driving, and I was standing on the other side of the road. So it was like I knew, I'll cross the road and meet him on the other side where he's going to see me.
Yep, so you can see exactly where, and if it's raining, you can stay inside until they turn up and,
yeah,
and you know, all that sort of thing.
So you get like all the information, you get a photo of the driver, you get their license plate, so you can see the car as it's coming up and go and knowing, right, that's my driver.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also sees your photo, so he knows who you are and all that kind of stuff. And it was actually a really well orchestrated process. And one of the guys I was talking to, I actually asked him how Uber was working for him, and he was saying that he and his other taxi people that he knows all decided to go 100% Uber. They're no longer taking any fares from anyone else from their normal pickups. They're just doing Uber purely.
Wow.
And even though they were losing a little bit of money in the short term, they had seen the long-term growth that they were going to get better service because they're not having to sit around for like 45 minutes at the airport or waiting for a potential fare. They're going to a fare right now. So they're not wasting gas. They're not wasting time. And so in the long haul, he was seeing the benefits and thinking on that long haul and going, yeah, this is actually going to work out better for us.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Now the other service, which has a lot of similarities, is Zoomy. Now, they launched last year in New Zealand, and they're available in at least Auckland, Wellington, and Christchurch now.
And they're a New Zealand company, I believe?
Yeah, so they're a New Zealand company. They seem to have sort of very much followed in the footsteps of Uber, so there are a lot of similarities in their app to what Uber does. But the thing that they do differently is they work with the existing taxi companies, so they don't have to have any of their own cars or their own drivers, but they've got to basically convince existing drivers for existing companies to come on board, and they've partnered up with a range of cabs or cab companies at different levels, from budget to mid price to your sort of high end corporate cabs, and seems to be a good approach. Now, the thing I appreciated about Zoomy was they give you, at the moment anyway, a broader range of taxis. And, of course, Uber is really just in this, what they call Uber secret mode in Auckland at the moment. So they haven't done a full broad public launch, although they've got an event on Friday, which sort of tends to suggest they're going to announce details on that very soon. Uber probably doesn't have as many choices, and we don't know whether they will have more choices. They certainly don't have a lot of cars on the road at the moment. Zoomy, yeah, Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch. One thing I noticed with Zoomy is, you've got an extra fee you pay for using your credit card, which was $2. Whereas with Uber, that's really the only way you pay, unless you've got some credit on your account. So that was interesting. One thing I did find with Zoomy is with their lower priced option, the sort of more budget taxi, when I tried to use it in Auckland, there actually weren't any cars available. That said, Uber has often been in a similar boat if I look at their app, particularly at a strange time of day, because they just don't have as many drivers at the moment. I guess the main big difference I found between the two, or two big differences, one I found, and this is probably the number of vehicles, Zoomy gave me a quicker sort of response in terms of when somebody picked me up. But Uber tended to give much better prices. So, certainly worth considering. I would pick those things will probably come a bit closer, over time. But yeah, at the moment, they're both worth looking at. And particularly if you're outside of Auckland, then it's going to be Zoomy.
Yeah, I think I must have actually got a good time because I've used Uber 3 times now, and I think the maximum time that I had to wait for a car was about a minute and a half.
That's good going. And if you're in the city, it's not too much of a problem, but if you're catching it from a residential address that's not in the city, that's what centres take longer. That was my experience. I think, if you're in the city and it's during a normal business day, then, you won't have any problem. That's going to be very snappy. So I don't expect people to have too much of an issue with that. All right. Well, that just about wraps us up actually for this episode. We're pretty much out of time now. Oh, there was one little thing we were going to chat about to do with. Probably not so little, is it? Microsoft have a bit of a drama with Internet Explorer at the moment.
I think it's actually more just an advertising campaign that they really want you to move off XP.
Yes, well, that could be part of it. So there's as happens from time to time across every platform, there's been a new security flaw found in Microsoft's Internet Explorer browser.
I believe this is actually targeting all the way back from IE8 up to IE11. It's across all versions of the browser.
I think back as far as version 6, actually, of Explorer. So that means certainly anyone with Windows XP, and the issue there, of course, is that Windows XP has reached end of life and Microsoft aren't doing updates for it anymore. There will likely be an update for Internet Explorer on all other platforms, fairly quickly, and worst case, by what they call Patch Tuesday, which swings around once a month, and that's about 2 weeks away. But I wouldn't be surprised in this case if Microsoft pushed something out a little bit quicker.
So I was going to say, one thing that I'm not sure on is I know that Windows XP Embedded is still supported.
Right.
So I don't know whether, I'm assuming FPOS terminals or the ATMs that might run XP embedded might actually run Internet Explorer as part of their setup. So I don't know whether they will get a new version of Internet Explorer.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Often with those embedded systems, they don't get upgraded very often anyway. But it's a fair point. But I guess the point is for the reminder for everyone really is to keep your browser and keep your system as up to date as possible, because you certainly don't want these issues or these security problems leading to any sort of spyware or malware, etc., getting onto your system. And for the next few days until an update's out, you might well consider using any other browser other than Internet Explorer if you've got something else on your system. That's not to guarantee that the other browser will be any more secure.
Any better, yes.
Because there just is absolutely no guarantee on these things. Yep. All right. Well, that's us now. Mark, how do people track you down online?
You can find me on Twitter at Talios, T-A-L-I-O-S, also on Google Plus, is just Mark Derricott, that wasteland of a dead, dying social network that no one apparently uses.
So the media reports to us,
I find it way more engaging and way more useful than Twitter ever was.
Well, that's interesting. And there are certainly some people I've noticed that are that really heavily involved in one platform or another. And, yeah, Google Plus is a platform that, that, yeah, you can really get, you know, stuck into and, yeah, has its own, I guess has its own community that is quite different from the Twitter or the Facebook communities.
I think it's all about who you follow and what communities you join. I mean, people will say that Twitter's a wasteland if you don't follow anyone.
Very true. All right. Well, that pretty much wraps us up for this week. You can track me, Paul Spain, down online. I'm on all of the above mentioned social networks. And for NZ Tech Podcast, we're at nztechpodcast.com. We're also at those social networks too. So be sure to check us out. And you can also via our Global Voice Media website found about our other podcasts. So, hey, thanks for listening, and everyone, we'll catch you next week. See ya.
See ya.